Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State.
With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
The Jacksonville Jaguars select Yannick Ngakoue, defensive end, Maryland.
With the fourth pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Leonard Fournette, running back, LSU. With the 29th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
Here we go. It is Media Mock Draft Day here on Jaguars Today. I don't think Ryan will be joining us for the program. Emmanuel's in there beside himself. As we get this thing rolling for the Media Mock Draft Day, Tony Smith here with you. And we got 16 guests lined up for the next 2 hours as we will take you through the first half of the Media Mock Draft today. XL Primetime takes over for us for picks 17 through 32. Of course, that includes the Jacksonville Jaguars here in the first hour as well. As I don't know if you've heard, but they're picking 7th in the upcoming NFL Draft coming up on Thursday night. No trades. You are locked into the spot that you are in. And we will find out how all these correspondents across the country feel about where their teams that they cover will be doing in the upcoming draft on Thursday night. Mike Dempsey is still out on assignment. He tweeted out last night he'll be back with us officially on Monday, but on assignment until then. We'll talk to him on Thursday as he'll be on his way up to Nashville for the draft tomorrow. And so we'll talk to him on Thursday and Friday, get reaction to whatever the Jags are going to do in the first round of the draft and get ready for rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night. But today is it. We haven't determined again. I'm not sure what number it is, whether it's 14 or 15, but it's somewhere in there. It's the 14th or 15th annual Media Mock Draft, and we are deep into the teens with this thing as we get it rolling. And as we get it rolling, that means that after months and months of discussion, it's time. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. And picking for them will be Bo Brack from Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix, at Bo Brack on Twitter. Bo, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, if you were to rank the needs for this Arizona team coming into the draft, how would you rank them?
Wow, it's going to be completely different from where I'm going with the pick as far as needs are concerned. I mean, this was a team that went 3-13. Offensively, they were historically bad. Team that averaged just over 14 points. That was actually worse than the team that went 0-16 in the 2008 season, the Detroit Lions. But the Arizona Cardinals, they are deep across the board. Wide receiver room is extremely thin. You look at the defensive line, sure, they've got a pass rusher in Chandler Jones, but they can certainly supplement that with one of the top prospects in the draft in Nick Bosa, or that interior of the defensive line. You can look at a guy like Quinn and Williams, but as far as needs are concerned, that offense, the offensive line was an absolute disaster last year as well, but there's no top prospects that stand out in this draft that the Cardinals could kind of fulfill that need with. And then there's another one that you could, that I think they may address at the quarterback position. Not the top flight play that they, I guess, wanted from 10th overall pick last year in Josh Rosen. I guess you could say that's a need.
Will Josh Rosen be a member of this football team on Monday?
I don't think so. I honestly do not think so. I think the writing's on the wall that this team is moving forward in a different direction. Josh Rosen, statistically, a horrible season. You look at the first-round quarterbacks from last year, he was 5 out of 5 as far as his performance last year, but then you have to look into that offensive line was a disaster. Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, was a fraud. He was with this team until week 7 last year, and Byron Leftwich was trying to work the kinks out, and Josh Rosen was there just, you know, taking his lumps all along the way. He was a guy in the locker room that had kind of endeared himself to his teammates. He had done everything that this organization had asked him for. A lot of people were looking forward to the sophomore season for Josh Rosen to see if he could take a jump, maybe kind of a la Jared Goff or a la Mitchell Trubisky, but I don't know if he'll get that chance.
So, you're on the clock. The Arizona Cardinals have to make the decision. Bo, what direction do the Cardinals go?
With the first pick in the media mock draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray.
So, Kyler Murray off the board as expected. What do you put the odds on that actually being the pick being?
I would say it's about 60-40 at this point. I mean, a lot of people are throwing, getting up there in the 90s. People are starting to flinch a little bit, you know, seeing what's going on with Steve Keim. Ian Rappaport said Steve Keim and Cardinals brass are meeting these next couple days to make a definitive decision on this. But it really seems like this is the most telegraphed move this offseason, that the Arizona Cardinals are going to go with Kyler Murray. Is it a smokescreen? It would be like a usual suspects Kaiser Soze situation if they were able to pull that off.
I don't give the team
that much credit.
All right, Bo, appreciate it, buddy. So the Cardinals are in. It's Kyler Murray with the first overall pick, and that means San Francisco is on the clock. And with San Francisco on the clock, it'll be Chris Biderman from the Sacramento Bee making the pick for San Francisco. Chris, what are, I just asked Arizona about this, do you think San Francisco would be happy if quarterback is the first overall selected?
Yeah, I think so. Look, the 49ers have tried to improve their pass rush for years, and it showed up last year in a few different ways. They set the NFL record for fewest takeaways in a season with just 7, including just 2 interceptions. So they've long been trying to upgrade at defensive end, and they did so last month with Dee Ford in a trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here I have the 49ers taking the top player on their board in Ohio State's Nick Bosa to provide a bookend on the defensive line opposite Dee Ford. They'll consider Queen and Williams here, but they already have a slew of talented first-round picks at defensive tackle, including DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, and 2017 third overall pick Solomon Thomas. So here I have the 49ers taking Bosa with a chance to fill in a big need along that defensive front.
How do you think, I know you just had him ranked right there, how close do you think it is between Bosa and maybe a Quinnen Williams with a little bit of that inside-outside debate going on?
Yeah, I think it's really close. The thing is, the 49ers are facing the possibility of paying DeForest Buckner, you know, something like $18 to $20 million per year coming up. He's within the next 2 or 3 seasons, that extension is probably going to kick in. So it's going to be a question of, do the 49ers want to devote that much already to defensive tackle, or do they want to complement Buckner with somebody along the edge like Bosa? And I think they lean towards Bosa here.
Do you think San Francisco would be a willing trade partner to get out of that number 2 spot?
I think so. I think it's less likely with Bosa on the board. I think Murray allows them to take a possible game changer that they've been really been lacking in recent seasons. So I think if Bosa went first, the 49ers would be inclined to listen to trade offers to move down. But I also think that they would be happy with Queenen Williams as a consolation prize.
All right, there it is. Number 2 pick in Chris Biderman. We appreciate you stepping in and picking there for San Francisco. So we go Kyler Murray, then Nick Bosa, and that leads us to the New York Jets now on the clock as we welcome in Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Covers the Jets for them up there. Manish, appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time this morning. So you know the first two that are off the board, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, are the Jets. Upset that Bosa is snatched away from him there at number 2, do you think he would be at the top of their board?
I think they would run to the podium if Nick Bosa were still available. But that being said, they're fully expecting the Niners to go and take Bosa, so I don't think they're surprised by any stretch of the imagination. So for them, it really comes down to Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Ed Oliver, the 2 interior guys, 1 edge pass rusher. Given this circumstance, and given the fact that they're not able to trade down because that would be their preference, I believe they'll take Quinnen Williams at 3.
Why Quinnen Williams?
Well, look, he's got a higher floor. He's less risky, if you will, than Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver has a lot of support in the building. There are many people in there who believe that Ed Oliver has the highest ceiling. He's the most explosive player of those 3. But, knowing Mike Maccagnan's track record and this history of being, you know, risk averse, if you will, I think they'll go with Quinn Williams because they do believe he's got an extremely high ceiling. He's an all pro caliber player in their estimation, and he is a better player when you're ranking the players. Even though they need an edge pass rusher, and Josh Allen in theory would fit that bill, I think they're going to take the best player available, and that's going to be Quinn Williams.
If they weren't going to go Quinn Williams, it sounds like you would think Ed Oliver may be the choice over a Josh Allen if they went that direction.
Well, look, it's a collaborative effort. Now, ultimately, the general manager, Mike Maccagnan, has control of the 53-man roster. He's going to have final say. His history has been that he, you know, likes to make sure this is a team decision and he doesn't go off the reservation. He typically doesn't do that. So, you know, if he's going to pull the people in the building, I think if it came down to Oliver and Josh Allen, they would take Ed Oliver. But if Quinn Williams is still available, I would be surprised if they didn't go in that direction.
It feels like some people may think that the Jets could be a surprise team in the AFC this year. Do you get that same sense?
Well, I think they'll be playoff relevant in terms of being in the conversation for the postseason when we get down to those final few weeks. That hasn't been the case the last several years. I mean, we're talking about a team that's won 14 games in the past three seasons. I don't think that you're going to see a repeat of that. I think this is a team that can win anywhere from, you know, 7 to 10 games, depending on how things break. But again, entering December, it would be a massive disappointment if they're not in the conversation for the postseason.
All right. Thank you, Manish, for your time this morning. The Jets are in our first three picks. We are off and running on the 2019 Media Mock Draft here on 1010XL. Our first three picks, Kyler Murray, quarterback out of Oklahoma, Nick Bosa, defensive end out of Ohio State, and Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman out of Alabama. When we return, we'll get to picks 4, 5, and 6. Of course, the Jags pick coming up in about half an hour. But the Raiders, Bucks, and Giants up next. The Oakland Raiders officially on the clock as we get things rolling here on the 2019 Media Mock Draft.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
No surprises thus far as we get the Media Mock Draft rolling here. First three picks in the books. Arizona going with Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. San Francisco at number 2 taking Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa. And then the New York Jets taking defensive tackle Quinnen Williams out of Alabama. That takes us to number 4. That would be the Oakland Raiders, who are now on the clock. And joining us to make a pick for the Raiders will be Bill Williamson of FanRagSports.com. Bill, appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. And we saw news today. Look, we said it's gone pretty much as scripted here early on. Would the Oakland Raiders be the first team that you think is likely to potentially flip the script on the early part of the draft?
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the latest report, that might have been the Arizona Cardinals who flipped the script. You know, there's a lot of recent reports that Quinnen Williams is going to be the top pick. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Raiders are a pivot point of this draft, no doubt about it.
What, if anything, can we make of them basically sending their entire scouting staff home last week?
You know, I mean, I know a lot of people tried around the league saying that it's not that unusual. It's pretty unusual. Is it a huge deal? I don't know. I mean, there's going to be more change. They're going to get a new scouting department, but the timing of that was a little different. And it just shows you that it's all about Gruden and Mayock in Oakland. I mean, the pressure's on them. It's their choice, and they obviously know that.
What do you feel like as they get ready to make this fourth selection? What do you feel like the Raiders see as their biggest needs heading into this draft?
Well, it's defensive line and particularly pass rush. They have a lot of needs. It's one of the worst rosters of the NFL last season. They did a decent job getting. They're much better at receiver, led by the Antonio Brown trade, of course. I've gotten a little better in the secondary and linebacker, but there's still a lot of needs on this team. And, you know, they have 3 first-round picks, so they have the needs to get better here this week.
We'll get the pick for what you would do in this scenario here in a moment, Bill, but you mentioned maybe it will be the Cardinals that shake it up. People have been talking Kyler Murray to Arizona this entire time. When it hasn't been Kyler Murray number 1, a lot of people think that Oakland will be the landing spot for Kyler Murray. Do you have a feeling that that could very well be the case. If Kyler Murray wouldn't go number one, do you think the Raiders would be a suitor for them at four?
Yeah, and there's talk that, you know, the last couple of days really heated up that Dwayne Haskins. See, we got a problem covering the Raiders. John Gruden, you don't know what he's going to do. He's completely unpredictable. So they probably shouldn't take a quarterback, but he shouldn't have traded Khalil Mack. You know, he probably shouldn't have traded Amari Cooper. So it's just hard, you know, logic and this reasoning is hard to deal with John Gruden. So it's going to be a fascinating night.
No, it really is, and you add on top of that, for at least for fans out there, they get to watch him one more season. I know we were talking about last week when the schedule came out, just weird to me, Oakland's final home game potentially is going to be against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Something just doesn't sit right with me about that, Bill. But it is what it is for the Raiders playing their last season out there in Oakland before they make the move to Las Vegas. So, as it is, Murray, Bosa, Williams off the board. What would the Raiders do at number four?
Just give him Ed Oliver of Houston. I think he's a playmaker. He is versatile, and they could do a lot of things with him on that defensive line, and I think that he'd probably be the best fit in this scenario.
With Ed Oliver, where do you think he ranks? Say, Bosa, Williams are already off the board. Would Ed Oliver be maybe just below Bosa in their rankings? Do you think if they had their choice of those defensive linemen?
Yeah, maybe just below Williams as well. I think he has a chance to be a really good player.
All right, Bill, we appreciate it. So the Raiders are in. It is Ed Oliver out of Houston with the fourth pick overall. And with that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now on the clock. TJ Reeves, Bucs sideline reporter. And you can, you know that if you just go to his Twitter handle, at Bucs sideline guy, joins us now as the Bucs are on the clock here at pick number five. TJ, how you doing, bud? Been a while.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And fascinating, as always, as to, you know, we're getting close. And so everybody's got their board. Everybody's got their scenarios. And it's interesting, in your mock draft, it's holding true to form so far.
It is. Is there anything that you've heard as far as in the last couple of weeks where it's really been heating up, as you've said, where maybe some of the rumors that you think would hurt the Bucs the most as far as what you think they would like to do with this number five overall pick?
They're looking, obviously, at defensive help as one of their primary objectives. It is no secret it's a new defense with Todd Bowles. They have said over and over again, we'll see it for sure, that it is going to be a hybrid. It's going to be some of a 3-4 that he's played previously as the Jets head coach and previously in Arizona. But until we know that for sure, then you wonder about personnel. So the speculation has been they might want a defensive tackle. Of course, his team went defensive tackle a year ago with Vita Vea in the opening round. And he's a guy that was injured at the beginning of the year but came on in the second half of the year. They have a lot of high hopes for him. In any...
Did we lose TJ? I think we may have lost TJ there. We'll try to get him back up. Not sure what happened with the phones there, but talking there a little bit about what he thinks the needs are for this Tampa Bay team and saying that they're going to be focusing there on defense. Look, we've heard Tampa Bay connected to linebacker a whole lot here throughout the process, so not surprising that they would be looking at defense. And look, we know the value here at the top of the draft is going to be on that side of the ball as well. Three defensive players already off the board. Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver all off the board. And Kyler Murray going number one overall, the quarterback out of Oklahoma to Arizona. And TJ, are you back with us, buddy?
I am. I was ramping up to the pick, and I don't know what happened. The plug got
right.
Pulled. It's okay.
Ramp up again, buddy.
The finish to the point is, in your scenario, two of the premier defensive tackles are now gone. So that makes this a very interesting spot for the Buccaneers, where we would, under this scenario, find out in a hurry how much do they love LSU linebacker Devin White, who is a tackling machine. They have drafted previously Quan Alexander and also Kendall Beckwith out of LSU as linebackers under Jason Light, the GM. So I think this would be a very interesting spot for the Buccaneers to make that pick. And I know you want me to make the pick in a second, but do not be surprised if this plays out the way that it does, that the Buccaneers may look to trade down and take the risk that they could get Devin White maybe in a pick or two, in particular if somebody wants a quarterback, for example. So I'm not ruling out the trade possibility, especially if your mock draft holds kind of how we think this is going to go, where the defensive tackles are gone.
Do you have any sense of how much they may like Devin White more than, say, Devin Bush, if linebacker is the direction they wanted to go?
Well, again, you follow the pattern that they've taken two linebackers out of LSU, same regime. Jason Light, his scouting staff, and Devin White is a tackler, first and foremost. He's not the biggest, most menacing linebacker, but, I mean, they've got another outstanding tackler, a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker in Levante David. They would love to pair him up. And they lost Quan Alexander, obviously, in free agency to the San Francisco 49ers. So there is a need there, and he seems to be the best fit in terms of inside linebacker here in this spot, if that's what the Bucs are in fact looking for.
What do you think they're going to do with Jameis Winston going forward?
Well, I mean, we do know three things. The first thing is they made a commitment to him for this year and more than five times the money, about five and a half times the money. They picked up the fifth-year option, so obviously that speaks volumes. The second thing is they made it clear to whomever they were hiring as the coach, he's our quarterback, we need him to be fixed, and they planned the hire of Bruce Arians in part around, can you work with, can you fix Jameis Winston and the things that need to be fixed, and Arians has a great track record. And so then comes the third part of this is, what are the results come September, October? Is he dramatically better? Is he good, if not great? And if he is, then you start talking about long-term future. You start talking about huge contract offer, just like what you're seeing flying around every which direction. But for right now, I mean, the Bucs have played this the smart way. They've picked up the fifth-year option. It is only an obligation for this year. And if Bruce Arians gets the opportunity to fix Jameis Winston, there's a lot more money down the road for Jameis Winston if that's the case.
TJ, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon again, I'm sure. The Bucs are in. Linebacker Devin White out of LSU, the fifth overall pick. With that, the New York Giants now on the clock. And we go to Ryan Dunleavy, who covers the Giants for NewJersey.com, NJ.com. Ryan, appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. So you know how it's played out, 1 through 5. The Giants, it feels like, are a real wild card in this thing. In the top 10, some people say quarterback, some people say defensive line. Even some whispers of offensive line. We all know the Giants could certainly use help. They're on the front on both sides of the ball. How do you rank the Giants' needs coming into the draft?
Well, if I'm including the long-term, quarterback one. If I'm playing for this year, then it's probably pass rusher one, offensive right tackle two, cornerback three. You'll notice defense, pass rusher again. Safety, inside linebacker. There's a lot of needs for this team. The only question is, do they go short-term win now, or do they go for the long-term play with a quarterback to replace Eli Manning down the road?
Yeah, we know they decided to go short-term last year, picking number 2 overall in a draft that was quarterback-rich. Now they're in a draft that isn't so quarterback-rich, but likely have the opportunity to get at least the second-best passer at worst on their board. Do you, if it were you making the decision, Ryan, is that the direction you would go?
I would have went that decision last year. As great as Saquon Barkley was then, he was even better now. I would have picked Sam Darnold then. I still would pick Sam Darnold now. This year, I don't know if I would got it. With two first-round picks, the Giants have a pick at 17. I know there's some theory on if you like a quarterback enough, take him at 6. If you don't like him enough at 6, then you shouldn't take him at 17. I don't know that I agree with that. I think for what the Giants are doing, trying to basically win and rebuild at the same time, I think I would take the best player available at 6 and hope either Daniel Jones or Drew Lock is there at 17, especially if they're the top quarterbacks on the Giants board, as I suspect they might be.
Would the Giants be a trade partner for Josh Rosen if Arizona were willing to move him?
The Giants will not give up their 6th or 17th pick for Josh Rosen. The Giants, I think, would give up their 95 pick for Josh Rosen, but I gotta think the Cardinals can get better than 95 somewhere from some team in this draft. The real question that's unanswered is, would the Giants give up their 2nd-round pick, number 37, to the Cardinals for Rosen? And is that enough for the Cardinals to take for Rosen? Are we talking a 2nd and a 4th? Are they holding out for a 1st-rounder? If it's second straight up for Josh Rosen, I think it's a deal that could work for both sides if the Cardinals already have Kyler Murray.
So what is your sense of it as we make the pick here at number six? Do the Giants go short-term or long-term with the sixth pick?
I am stunned to see Josh Allen still sitting on this board. So Dave Gettleman famously told his staff of scouts and assistants, don't answer the phone last year. We're picking Saquon Barkley. I don't need to hear a trade offer. Let's get Barkley in 2 seconds after the clock starts. I think that's what they do here with Josh Allen, a top three caliber pick who slips to them at six and fills their exact need, plus he's a Jersey kid.
What do you think they'd be looking for coming back at 17?
Quarterback and right tackle.
Okay. And there should be pretty good players available to him there if that is the direction they go. So would you think this is the prime scenario for the Giants among the defensive players they'd be looking at?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a dream scenario for the Giants. Outside edge rusher in a 3-4, maybe the best 1-4-3. I know Bosa is tremendous, but how he fits in a 3-4, I don't know. So I think for the 3-4, they get their ideal guy.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate it. Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com covers the New York Giants. We'll hear from him a little bit later on this morning as well. The Giants will be back picking number 17 a little bit later on. The first six picks in the books, it goes down like this. To the Arizona Cardinals, number one overall, Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. San Francisco, number two, goes defensive end Nick Bosa out of Ohio State. The New York Jets at number three go Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. At four, the Oakland Raiders select Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver. At five, Tampa Bay with LSU linebacker Devin White. And at six, the New York Giants just selecting linebacker Josh Allen out of Kentucky. And it sounds like maybe the Giants would be very happy to get one of the top three defenders that has been the consensus, one of the top three defenders in this draft heading into this one there at number six with another pick coming up for them at number 17. That'll be kicking off XL Primetime. We'll be kicking off whatever we're going to do with this Jaguars pick. Dan Hicken will join us next, and we will talk what do the Jags do with pick number seven in this scenario with a bunch of these defensive guys off the board. Offensive line still very much in play. There's a certain tight end we may have discussed once or twice here in Jacksonville that is clearly going to be in play for the Jags at this pick as well. And my goodness, a conversation that we had right at the end of the season where what would we have to do for the Jaguars to be in position to get Dwayne Haskins? Maybe just wait till seven would have been the answer to what they would have to do to be in position to take Dwayne Haskins. We'll get Dan Hicken and the Jaguars pick on the other side as we continue along. It's the Media Mock Draft here on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith here with you as we roll on the Media Mock Draft, the 2019 edition, 13th, 14th, 15th annual Media Mock Draft. We really need to figure out the year because it does sound more professional if we know how many times?
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
You know what song that's playing?
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
Yeah, by Kanye. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. As we come home with the Jacksonville Jaguars and we welcome in Dan Hicken. And, Dan, I heard you talking to Emmanuel there on the break trying to get ready, going through the mental preparation of what you were going to do with this seventh pick. And you were asking who's gone and what's available to the Jags. And, honestly, if they're looking for offense, pretty much anything they want. It's available to the Jags at seven.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited about who's left. One of my prime candidates came off the board, and that's Eddie Oliver. I really like him personally, but we've had a tough time with the scouts, a lot of back and forth on that young man. So there's some who think he's Aaron Donald and some who don't. There's some who raised some red flags, some who haven't. So anyway, he's off the board, so that's not a problem at all, Tony. I was curious, though, obviously after last year we had to fire Martineau, so he's gone now. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but I did survive, and it's great to be back with you for another year.
Appreciate it, and as we said, a lot of the offense available to him, unless they were looking to get Kyler Murray, which I doubt that's the direction the Jags would be looking here with this seventh pick. How much deeper does your list go among the defensive linemen than the guys that have already been taken off the board, where Ed Oliver seems like a popular pick for a lot of people if he's available to the Jags? But if Ed Oliver is taken and those top defensive players, the defensive linemen, are gone as well, how much deeper does your defensive line list go?
Well, I need a guy that is a sure thing if I'm going defense, Tony. Let's be honest. We have to fix our offense. I think our defense is good enough to I know our defense is good enough to win now. With that said, you can never have enough pass rushers, big bodies. We've seen that throughout NFL history. So there are a couple other guys. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Rashawn Gary was a guy I like, but I can't. I'm bothered by the shoulder a little bit. So again, red flags. I don't want red flags when I pick at 7. I want a guy I feel real comfortable with. So I can tell you this now, without a doubt, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to make an offensive pick. I've eliminated the defensive side of the ball. Devin White was another guy I would have considered, by the way. But again, I'm going offense for the Jacksonville Jaguars with my pick.
All right. We'll get to what the pick is actually going to be. The offensive options are pretty wide open. I was mentioning a few moments ago, once Josh Allen and the pick came in with the Giants right here ahead of the Jags, that we had all kinds of discussions.
Oh,
off season. So many discussions about what would the Jags have to do to be in position to take Dwayne Haskins if that's the direction they were going to go. And as it turns out, at least in our mock draft here, maybe just wait till 7 is what the Jaguars would have had to done to get Dwayne Haskins when everything is said and done. But quarterback, I think you're in the same camp as me. Quarterback off the table for the Jags probably in the first few rounds with bringing in Nick Foles.
I couldn't agree more, Tony. Look, we've made the commitment with our organization to win now. We brought in Nick. We've had him pegged all along as the guy. We want to do what we can to help him. So, yes, unfortunately, quarterback is off the board. You can sense where I'm going, Tony Smith. I'm going to either go offensive tackle or tight end, and I'm ready to make my selection if you're ready for me.
We still got a few minutes here, Hick. You got to save it. You got to save it for a few more minutes. Now, let me ask you this with the quarterback deal. If you were the one turning in the card, if this scenario was playing out, would Dwayne Haskins be the pick for Dan Hicken?
He would not, and I'll tell you why. Because if I sign Nick Foles, which I did, and I believe in Nick Foles, I'm not buying Nick Foles for a year or two. Nick Foles is not 36 years old here, okay? Nick Foles, when he leaves Jacksonville, is going to be the greatest quarterback to play in Jaguars history. That's my plan, at least. Now, things change, and if he doesn't perform well, that's on me. But I just gave him a boatload of money with the idea that he's going to be here for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So I got no room at the end for Dwayne Haskins, unfortunately, a guy I really like. And I'm not sure why he's falling, but he will not fall to the number 7 spot. No, he will not. Not for me.
So, with the pick, I'm interested to hear the pick, and then we'll discuss which directions you could have gone with this thing. So, in this scenario, the Jags picking a number 7, where do they go, Hick?
Well, Tony, thank you. Thank you very much. I've thought about this long and hard, obviously. We've been discussing this since that 7-game losing streak. and I know we've got to be able to block up front. I know that. But I think when I select with the 7th pick tight end from Iowa, T.J. Hockenson, I've selected a guy, Tony, who can not only catch the ball, who will not only be my Zach Ertz, but who also can clip that defensive end and move him to open up stuff in the ground game. I got a guy who's the best combination tight end in the draft, a guy I've seen compared to Witten and Gronk, and if I can get a mixture of Witten and Gronk, I'm going to do backflips. Well, I can't really do backflips anymore. But I'm going to celebrate for the next 10 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars. T.J. Hockenson, Tony, that's my guy.
And look, if they got Jason Witten out of him, I'd be thrilled. You pick a tight end that turns into Jason Witten, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. That's enough. He doesn't have to be Gronk for you to be happy with the pick.
No, he doesn't. If he can have one play, well, they whistle it dead now, where his helmet comes off and he continues to run down the field, I will be thrilled. If he can have one play where he catches a touchdown in the last 2 minutes to beat the New York Football Giants, I will be thrilled. He doesn't even have to do Monday Night Football when he's done. But, yeah, we would love to have T.J. Hockenson. Tony, with all due respect to Isaac Smolko and Greg Estandia, and Ben Koyak and some of the other Jaguar great tight ends, it's time to get the best tight end in Jaguars history. It's time to get a guy who we think is going to grow with our program. It's time to get T.J. Hockenson.
Very loose usage of the term great there, Hick. I would say to take me through the internal debate with tight end as a position versus having the opportunity to take whatever offensive lineman you want in a draft at number 7.
That is correct, and it was a huge internal debate. And I understand that I'm not set at right tackle, despite what my colleague Dave Caldwell, my fellow general manager, told me yesterday. I'm not set at right tackle whatsoever with what I have. There's a good bet, Tony, that I'm going to address right tackle and with pick number 38. But I think I can get a better, and I know the tight end draft they say is deep, but I think I can get a better right tackle at 38 than I can going right tackle, tight end, or right tackle, receiver, or whatever I'm going to do, right tackle, pass rusher. So hopefully at 38, I'll have a fit and a need and a best player in a right tackle. But if not, I can wait. I can wait to the third round as well. I can get that guy. And then with those three guys that I have, Tony, my draft pick and the Big O and Will Richardson, with all those guys, I can have my competition and the best man can win.
What would it take? What kind of offer would it take for you to move down from 7?
Oh, if I can get, I don't know how far we're going to move down, but I'm definitely okay with moving down. I probably forfeit Hockenson, but I can take another tight end and extra pick. I will do that. It will take their first round pick, and depending on how far we're going to move down, you know, a second round pick, I would be open to that, quite honestly.
If you were moving down at tight end, would you rather have Fant or the tight end out of Alabama, Irv Smith?
That's a little bit, Tony, I got to be honest. I have not done enough. I know this is terrible to admit, and this could cost me my job for next year. I have not scouted Noah Fant enough. And I love Irv Smith Jr. I think he has the potential to be better than O.J. Howard, the kid in Tampa. So I would probably go that way. But I think Fant's going to come off higher than Irv. So if I can even get an extra pick and get Irv Smith Jr., I would be excited about that.
All right, so the pick for the Jags, T.J. Hockenson, and Dan Hickens thrilled about it.
And I'm thrilled.
A lot of people that I've been talking to, obviously we've both been talking to for months now, I think would be very happy, and some people would be punching their fist through a wall because that's
yes,
the nature of the NFL
Tony,
draft.
Tony, tell everybody what TJ stands for. It stands for Touchdown Jaguars, okay? That's what TJ stands for from here on out.
All right, Touchdown Jaguars. We've seen Hick get the pick before. We've seen him be right about a pick, and the Jaguars screwed it up and traded up and took Blaine Gabbert. When everything was said and done. So hopefully this one works out a little bit better than that one did. When he had Ryan Kerrigan to the Jags, that might have worked out slightly better than they actually did.
Thank you for pointing out the hits and not the misses.
Yes, well, the hits are a whole lot more fun than the misses. Hick, we appreciate it, buddy. The pick officially in for the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 7. They go with T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. In our mock draft, that takes us to number 8. Dan Miller now on the clock for the Detroit Lions, who are picking 8th right behind the Jags with Fox 2 WJBK-TV in Detroit. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning, Dan.
No problem. Good to be here.
What would the Lions like to see happen when they're picking at number 8 ahead of them?
You know, I think in a dream world, you know, Josh Allen might have fallen a couple more picks. Maybe he gets past the Giants and they draft a quarterback and he gets possibly to them. I don't know if that's somebody Jacksonville would jump on immediately, but in a dream scenario, which probably isn't very realistic, that's probably the key for them. Best thing that could happen for the Lions is that you get as many quarterbacks as possible that go before they draft. They're not in the market for that. That drops better players down to them. And it still seems like there's rumblings out there that, you know, at this point in your mock, there's one. And it certainly seems that there's a possibility that there could be 2, possibly even 3 to go before they pick. So that's the best case scenario that kind of pushes somebody down to them. Allen seems to be the best fit. Beyond that, you know, they're a team that a lot of different things make sense for them right now. You could make a case for defensive lineman. You could make a case for an offensive lineman, a linebacker. You could make a case for a tight end. Their roster doesn't really dictate that they're desperate anywhere to get something. Not that it doesn't need improving, but there are several areas of need that kind of are there that they don't have to force anything.
How long do you think it will be before Detroit, if they do, anytime in the near future, they do look past Matthew Stafford at the quarterback spot?
Well, I think this is a big year. You have year two under Matt Patricia, year one under Daryl Bevel as an offensive coordinator. I really think they want to see this thing start to take shape quickly. And as you move forward in his contract, it's still prohibitive to make any move with Matthew Stafford right now, nor do I think that they want to. I think they want to see where this goes. I think they're very comfortable with Bevel and his track record and what he's going to bring to it. I think they're hopeful with a healthy Kerryon Johnson and some of the additions that they still plan on making in this draft and have made, that they're going to be better offensively. But, look, it's a fair question, and it's one that will be answered in time. But I would simply say this is a very big year to see where this thing goes for a lot of people, for a fourth-year general manager, a second-year head coach, a first-year offensive coordinator, and an 11th-year quarterback.
Certainly. Now, outside of that, where do you rank the needs for Detroit coming into this one?
You know, I think you can kind of group them together. I still think they need to add another tight end. They've got Jesse James in there that they signed from Pittsburgh. I think they'll be looking for somebody that has the ability to get a little more vertical than he does. I think you can make the case that they still need a defensive end that can get after the passer, despite the fact that they signed Trey Flowers. I don't think they would sneeze at an interior defensive lineman as well. I think they want to build that thing and have as many options and be able to give teams as many looks as they can. That's what Matt Patricia does. Offensively, they've got a hole at right guard. They've got decisions to make on contracts with both tackles coming up here. And I think, too, that they're still a team not in the first round, but somewhere in this draft, going to draft a wide receiver as well. I think that's certainly possible. And, you know, linebacker. This is a defensive line that I think is going to keep the linebackers pretty clean. You've definitely got one in Jared Davis. Christian Jones is the other incumbent there. I think if they can improve on that, I think they would. I don't know that you rank any of those necessarily towering above the rest, but those are all areas that they're going to be looking at.
All right, so in the scenario we have, Dan, the Lions are on the clock. What's the pick at 8?
You know, for me, I think it comes down to three guys. They'd look at Christian Wilkins. I think they'd look at Devin Bush. I think they'd look at Jonah Williams. I think for me, probably at this point, it would be Christian Wilkins or the guy that's making his move up the draft board. I think if you look at Bob Quinn's pick since he's become the general manager, he's gone to guys who have solid track records at big programs, character guys. I think Christian Wilkins checks all those boxes, and he's a good football player. He's 315 pounds. He can play inside. You can move him outside a little bit in the 3-4 and let him play one of the edge spots with the three guys up front. He can also play right in the middle. I think he gives them versatility, which is always valued by Matt Patricia. It's not a slam dunk. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't put a dime on this in Vegas because I think that this draft board leaves it wide open. But I would just throw Wilkins' name right out there as a guy who seems to fit what they look for and what they would be looking for.
All right, Christian Wilkins, the defensive lineman out of Clemson, off the board there to Detroit. Dan, we appreciate your time this morning as we are done with the first half of our half of the Media Mock Draft. 8 picks in the books, including the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dan Hicken picking T.J. Hockenson, tight end out of Iowa for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get a poll up here on Twitter in just a moment to get your reaction to the pick with T.J. Hockenson coming here to Jacksonville at number 7 in our scenario with a bunch of those defensive guys coming off before they pick. Christian Wilkins going there at number 8. We'll reset, and we'll get into the back half of this thing. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock. They're up next with pick number 9 as we roll along. It's the Media Mock Draft on 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. We'll be right back. More Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Halfway through our half of the Media Mock Draft. 8 picks in the books. Dan Hicken joining us there during the last segment, taking Iowa tight end TJ Hockenson for the Jags. And honestly, if they were put in that spot, like that particular spot, and the defensive lineman had come off the board that had come off the board specifically for me, Ed Oliver, then yeah, that might be the direction I'd go if Ed Oliver wasn't available and those premier defensive linemen were gone as well. But he has the Jags going with Iowa tight end TJ Hockenson. The Lions there at number 8. Follow that up with Clemson defensive tackle Christian Wilkins. So 8 picks in the books. That brings us to the Buffalo Bills, who are now on the clock at number 9. And Sal Capasio joining us from WGR 550, the Bills Radio Network. Sal, the Bills, we know, aren't looking at quarterback after making the quarterback selection last year. So what directions do you think they would be looking in a draft filled with defensive linemen but a bunch of the premier names off the board?
Yeah, this is actually, I think, kind of the worst-case scenario for the Bills here. They'd love someone to trade up this pick who wants a quarterback after all this. I really think they really like Ed Oliver. I think Christian Wilkins is definitely in play, and TJ Hockenson. All three of them are gone. The worst thing that can happen for the Bills is no more than one quarterback going, you know, in the top 8, which is what happened on this board. So all that being said, they have made an absolute commitment to building around Josh Allen this offseason. They've signed 18 free agents, including 14 on the offensive side of the ball. And given the way the board is falling here, I think they continue to do that. They add a 7th offensive lineman this period, counting free agency. That's going to be Jonah Williams out of Alabama. He is a versatile lineman. Bills love position flexibility. And, oh, by the way, he played for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll at Alabama.
So Jonah Williams to pick here for the Buffalo Bills. If it wasn't going to be offensive line, what among the defensive or the names that we've heard do you think would they most like to see fall to them that just hasn't yet?
No, I really think that they like Ed Oliver a lot and also Christian Wilkins. I think those are guys that really fit what the Bills want. You know, Kyle Williams retired. They need the penetrating type of three technique. They have Star Lotulelei they can pair him with. That's an excellent situation for the Bills to have there. I think they probably would like to have a guy like TJ Hockenson, but I don't know if 9 would be even too high for a tight end there. I debated even Noah Fant's position after looking at the board the way it fell. But Montez Sweat is interesting to me, but with that heart situation, I'm not sure if the Bills want to pull the trigger there. And, of course, Rashawn Gary, I think a lot of people think he could be in play, but I just don't know. The Bills probably don't see the production there, and like a lot of teams, you would think you'd want to see the production. Maybe he's in the mix. The Bills definitely need defensive line help, but if the board falls this way, I could see them going offensive line, and for me it was between Jonah Williams and Juwan Taylor there.
And it sounds like they would be interested in moving back if this was the scenario.
I think they'd be interested in moving back no matter what. I think the Bills are in a good spot. They'd love someone to come up to take that number 9 pick. They could move down. They could get extra players a little bit later. They have 10 picks. They don't need necessarily 10 picks, but maybe they can then move around the board a little bit later. But, yeah, in this particular scenario, I think moving down would be the optimal situation.
With that thought, would there be any interest from the Bills in moving up if Ed Oliver really is the guy they like?
Well, you know, I don't know if they want to move up necessarily for Oliver. I think they'd love him at number 9. Christian Wilkins, you don't want to move up for him. But I think Quinnen Williams is interesting. If he starts to slide past 3 or 4, do the Bills make a move to get to 5 or 6 to get Quinnen Williams? To me, he's the best player in this draft. I think the only two players they would really move up for like that would be Quinnen Williams and Bosa. Bosa's not going to fall. Oliver is interesting, but I just don't think I see a move in the Bills going up to do that because of the cost it would take. It would only be maybe a move to 2 or 3 spots up if they think someone there is going to take him beforehand.
All right, Sal Capasio with the pick for the Bills. They go with Alabama offensive tackle Jonah Williams. And with that, Andrew Mason now on the clock with the Denver Broncos from DenverBroncos.com. Andrew, what do you think the Broncos would like to see happen? Is quarterback the apple of Denver's eye here at number 11?
I don't think so. Even though there's a need for a long-term quarterback option, I do think there's a pretty good sense that they want to give Joe Flacco at least a year as a starting quarterback, as the unquestioned starting quarterback, I should say. And as a result, I think they'll look for a younger option down the line in round 2 to round 4, perhaps. But round 1, I think they're going to steer clear quarterback and go in another direction.
So what would you say the Broncos outside of quarterback, which obviously a bunch of people have had connected to Denver for a while now there at number 10, what do you think they consider their biggest needs heading into this draft?
Inside linebacker, because of course they let go of Brandon Marshall, and their starters right now are Todd Davis and Joseph Jewell, neither of whom are the best in coverage. Tight end is also a pressing need for them. They'd like to find some speed at wide receiver, but I think that will cut. That's something they'll look for later. Interior offensive line is a big need as well. I think that's something they want to try to address on day two. A trade down could be an option for them, though, if they want to go interior offensive line as early as round one, maybe pick up an extra day two selection.
Sure. And with all the quarterbacks still there, maybe there are some teams picking that would be interested in moving up and making sure they can get their guy. But in our scenario, you can't really move around, maneuver that kind of way, Andrew. So they're at number 10. The Broncos are stuck. The 9 picks have been made before them. What do they do at number 10?
I think they go inside linebacker, and with Devin White on the board, they're going to look to Devin Bush, the inside linebacker out of Michigan. Really, the only difference between the two of them is 1 inch of height and 1/100th of a second in terms of time in the 40 as they were measured at the scouting combine. Devin Bush gives them a quarterback of the defense, the kind of thing that Vic Fangio has often had in his defenses, going all the way back to when he was in New Orleans in the 80s and 90s and had Sam Mills as one of their outstanding linebackers. He's always looked for good, effective inside linebackers who can attack the run, drop into coverage, go sideline to sideline. They don't have that on the roster right now. With Devin Bush, they would get that.
So at number 10, the Denver Broncos go Devin Bush, the Michigan linebacker, and two linebackers off the board before two quarterbacks off the board in our mock draft here. Andrew, we appreciate it. And with that, we go to the 11th pick and the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock. Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com joining us at Jeff Hobson CIN. They're on Twitter. I think Jeff just fell off. We'll get him back up here. But two linebackers off the board before we get two quarterbacks off the board. I think if you had told people that a few months ago, nobody would believe you, that would be the way that this thing plays out. It does feel like that is more and more likely the closer we get to this draft. I thought it was funny and even mentioned it there to Hicken when we had him on. You know, there were so many people that were very concerned with what were the Jaguars going to have to do to be in a position to go get a quarterback. Well, it turns out maybe they could have just waited till 7 to go get their quarterback, as we welcome in Jeff Hobson and the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock here at number 11 from Bengals.com. Jeff, appreciate you giving us some time this morning. What do you think the Bengals would like to see happen? What scenario would they most like here for the 11th pick?
Oh, they'd love to get 3 quarterbacks out of there. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Maybe 2, they're hoping. But I think they're hoping defense. Denver just took my man Bush right in front of me, so I think that's the guy they'd like. But the Bengals are lucky this trip. 32nd defense, there's a lot of defensive players going to be available. Sounds to me like you got Rashawn Gary still available on the board, and I think we'd probably go with him.
Why Rashawn Gary?
He's an edge guy. He's playing right now. He's the best defensive lineman probably on the board. I think he's probably the highest value. They're looking to get as much help as possible for that defense. So I think they're thinking the best defensive player right now at this point, and I think they're looking value, position value, and you got a defensive end there. At this point, you got to grab him.
All right, Jeff Hobson with the pick of Rashawn Gary to the Cincinnati Bengals, and that'll get us through the first 11 picks. Let's run it down what we have so far. Kyler Murray, the quarterback out of Oklahoma, to the Arizona Cardinals, 1. San Francisco at 2, going Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa. The New York Jets at 3, Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. The Raiders at 4 with Houston's Ed Oliver at defensive tackle. The Bucks at 5, Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU. The New York Giants, right ahead of the Jags, take linebacker Josh Allen out of Kentucky. The Jags, Dan Hicken picking Iowa tight end TJ Hockenson for the Jags at 7. Number 8 to the Detroit Lions, Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle out of Clemson. Number 9 to Buffalo, Alabama offensive lineman Jonah Williams. That's the first offensive lineman off the board in our mock here. Denver Broncos go with linebacker Devin Bush out of Michigan, the second linebacker taken. And then Jeff Hobson for the Cincinnati Bengals selecting edge rusher Rashawn Gary out of Michigan at number 11. Picks 12, 13, 14 on deck. The Green Bay Packers on the clock as we continue to roll along on the Media Mock Draft here on 1010XL. Still just one quarterback off the board. Fat Tony here with you. We are 11 picks deep in our 2019 Media Mock Draft. And one quarterback off the board, two linebackers, a bunch of the defensive linemen, as you would expect coming off already. Just one offensive lineman selected. That's Alabama's Jonah Williams, who went a few moments ago to the Buffalo Bills there with pick number nine. What will happen at pick 12 as the Green Bay Packers are on the clock? And Bill Huber from the Packer Report Online set to join us. And Bill, a weird situation where we watch the Green Bay Packers spend money in free agency, not something we're used to seeing as we're getting ready for the 2019 season.
Yeah, it's a new GM, and this is an acknowledgement of, look, for years these guys were a draft and develop program, and they drafted poorly under Ted Thompson the last several years. The 2015 draft class, there's not a single person on the roster right now, and it's just a huge problem. And so, therefore, they felt the need to go dive in their free agency to go fill some needs. Clay Matthews, useful part of his career was over. Nick Perry was a bust after his big free agent contract. So they got rid of those guys and replaced them with Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Made a huge hole at safety, and they signed Adrian Amos away from the Bears. But they spent a lot of big money to guys who really are not dominant players. So be interesting to see how those things pan out.
Yeah, and I'm sure every interview you've done for years now, you get asked about Aaron Rodgers, but even more so lately with the whole news story. How real is it of there being any kind of rift? Does it exist up there in Green Bay in that locker room right now?
No. Nobody cares. I mean, was there a problem with McCarthy and Rodgers? Sure, but I mean, I think everybody knew that. But these guys want to win. Everybody knows Aaron Rodgers gives them the best chance to win. I would be surprised if Rodgers doesn't have a total buy-in to new coaching on the floor, and I just think that's old news and is totally irrelevant to the situation now.
They spent a bunch of money on defense, as you outlined there, which means maybe they would be looking, you expect it to be, at least the focus to be on offense with them early in this draft.
No, I don't think, I think maybe overall, yes, but you go into this draft, you still need a safety. They don't have anybody to pair with Amos. In this mock draft that you guys are doing now, the inside linebackers are gone. But if Bush or White were there, I wouldn't be surprised if they went there. This is a deep draft of edge rushers, and you know, neither Preston Smith nor Za'Darius Smith have shown that they can be, you know, 10 sack season kind of guys.
All right, Bill. The Packers are on the clock here at number 12. What is the pick?
Well, I'm going to take Gilbert from Washington. They're going to be zone blocking team here in Green Bay, and that requires athletic offensive linemen. There's been a more athletic offensive lineman in this draft than Andre Diller. Freak speed. I mean, he's several times better than half the linebacker. So I will take him, and he is your right tackle of the future.
All right, there it is. Andre Diller, the offensive tackle off the board to the Green Bay Packers. Appreciate you, Bill, for joining us here. That means the Miami Dolphins now on the clock at pick number 13. Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post will join us. Hal, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well. At Gunner Hal on Twitter. So two offensive tackles off the board. I think a lot of people trying to figure out what direction exactly this Miami team is going right now. How seriously do you think they would consider a quarterback in this draft?
Oh, I would. I think that if it plays out the way it is on your mock draft, I think that there's a really good chance they would take the quarterback. I mean, right now, there's a lot of talk about them sort of holding off until next year and looking at Tua, but if a quarterback should fall the way it's playing out in your mock draft, I think they're just going to move up that timeline a year and go in that direction. I mean, you know, let's face it, this team has not had a quarterback with the exception of Chad Pennington in 08. They haven't had a quarterback really that they could count on for the long term since Marino, and it's time that, you know, that ends.
Do you think the Dolphins would consider it all moving up to get a quarterback that they like?
I think they would. I think in a perfect world, let's say, for example, that a couple of the quarterbacks are gone by now on Thursday night, I think that they would think seriously about moving back because they need so much help in so many areas that stockpiling picks is not a bad thing. I think General Manager Chris Breer would love to be able to maximize his selections this year. So, you know, moving up, if they have a conviction on a guy, I think they would do it, but the problem is they don't have a whole lot of commodities in which to move up. And when you need so many things like they do, it's a whole lot easier, I think, to move down than to move up.
Hal, before we get the pick, do you buy into at all? You know, we've heard talk throughout the offseason here that the Dolphins, I mean, people have even said tanking, basically, for 2019. Do you buy into that idea at all?
Not really. I mean, you know, it depends on what you mean by tanking. I think that if you're talking about them tearing things down and starting from scratch, and that includes in the front office where they have a chain of command that really makes sense for the first time in ages, and then from there they got rid of just about anybody who's 30 and older, and they're starting with youth. If that's your definition of tanking, then I guess, yeah, they're tanking. But are they going to go out? Do you think Brian Flores is going to go out in his pregame pep talks and tell guys, okay, go out there, look good, but lose? No, they're going to go out there and try their best and try to win every game and then worry about their draft position later. So it's all a matter of, I guess, how you define it. But no, they're not intentionally trying to lose. They're intentionally trying to build through the draft and build with young players.
All right, Hal, what's the pick here at 13 for the Dolphins?
Well, you know, right now, if I'm Chris Breer, I'm thinking that things have gone very well for me right now. I got to go with Haskins. I mean, it's time to address the quarterback situation. And if he's going to fall that far, you got to go for it. He's a guy who's won an awful lot in college. He's very accurate. He's very mature. I was at his news conference at the Combine, and his demeanor impressed me. He's a very confident guy, and yet it's not over-the-top confidence. I know in a perfect world he'd love to play for his hometown New York Giants, but not everybody gets that opportunity in the NFL. But, you know, the Dolphins have talked about how they, especially when it comes to the quarterbacks, they want to get inside the guy's head and see what his mental makeup is and how he analyzes the game and how he deals with adversity. And I think Haskins will impress them on all counts in that regard. So I think they go with Haskins and then go from there and try to build an offensive line after that.
Would Haskins be their pick at quarterback if they could have him or Murray?
That's a good question. That's a tough one. I think maybe they would go with Murray, but the demeanor part of it, I think, really makes Haskins attractive to Miami. So I don't think that Miami is thinking there's any way that Murray's going to be there. So obviously they got to prepare for that eventuality, but I think overall, Haskins is that much more likely.
All right, Hal. Appreciate it. The Dolphins in. It's quarterback out of Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins, going 13th to the Miami Dolphins. That brings us to the Atlanta Falcons now on the clock. And D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution joining us. D.O., the Atlanta Falcons, before we get to the actual pick here, what is going on with Julio Jones? I'm sure he's looking for a new contract after what happened with Antonio Brown this offseason.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Both sides are working towards that end, making some progress. I expect something to be done on that front shortly after the draft.
What do you consider the biggest needs for this Falcons team heading into this draft?
Well, you know, defensive end, tackle, safety, and obviously there are some holes at cornerback after they let go of three of their top four cornerbacks over the offseason.
So it's a team that's in position to address a bunch of those needs here. Honestly, the board falls pretty okay for the Atlanta Falcons. A bunch of the premier defensive linemen off the board, but nobody they wouldn't expect to be gone at this point when they're picking at 14. Is there somebody that you think would be the apple of Atlanta's eye among this defensive line class that is expected to maybe go in the top 10, but they're hoping falls down to them?
Yeah, there are a couple of guys there. Of course, you know, they love Quinnen Williams, but, you know, that was out of the realm of possibility from the beginning. At one point, everybody was projecting Ed Oliver to them. So that was a guy that everybody had fell in love with around here. And then at the other end, it was like, hey, well, maybe Christian Wilkins will make it through. And this here, Mock, I understand he's gone. So at this point, they're sitting there, fist on the table, and are really not happy with how this is breaking down.
Well, the best corner, if they want to go that direction, would still be available to them. They need help at that spot. Dio, where do the Falcons go? What's the pick?
Yeah, they're going to, Greedy Williams, cornerback LSU to the Atlanta Falcons. They'll stumble about Dexter Lawrence and Cody Ford being there, but at the end, they'll go with the talent and take the best cornerback in the draft and Greedy Williams from LSU.
All right, there it is. D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with Greedy Williams, the pick, the cornerback at LSU. So the first corner off the board. We appreciate it, D.O., and we'll talk to you again soon as we get ready for the 2019 season. So here we go, 14 picks down, a couple more here on the other side before we wrap up our portion of this media mock draft. Greedy Williams, the first corner off the board there, a moment of go. Dwayne Haskins finally off the board as well to the Miami Dolphins, so he stays in state here in Florida, but doesn't go to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, you know, I'm assuming aren't going to be looking at quarterback at this point in the draft, as we've been saying for a while now since they signed Nick Foles. But Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, Devin White, Josh Allen. So you got a string there of all defense after Kyler Murray going number one to the Arizona Cardinals. But then Bosa, Williams, Oliver, White, and Allen. Ed Oliver, a guy that I think a lot of people around here would like to see land in a Jaguars uniform. I would be among that group. He's probably the, as they say, the apple of my eye in this draft right now, but at least in our mock here, goes number four. You hear more and more reports that he's expected to really go maybe in the top five of this draft. You hear more and more about that. Montez Sweat, a guy that is still available, sliding here in our media mock draft. We've heard him attached to the Jags throughout the process, but with some of the stories that have been coming out in the last couple of weeks, it seems like Sweat may be slipping, at least in the pundit's mind. We'll see how the teams actually feel about it, as we are just a couple days away from the actual NFL draft. TJ Hockenson, the pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dan Hicken making that pick a little under an hour ago to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tight end out of Iowa. TJ Hockenson probably would step in, and most would expect to immediately be, within a year or two, the best tight end in Jaguars history, as it's not exactly a position filled with glory here in the record book for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But after that, defensive tackle Christian Wilkins from Clemson going 8 to Detroit. Buffalo going with Alabama offensive tackle Jonah Williams, the first offensive lineman off the board. Andre Dillard joined him a few picks later to the Green Bay Packers. So two offensive linemen gone, two linebackers gone, with Devin Bush going to Denver. Rashawn Gary comes off the board to the Cincinnati Bengals. They're at pick number 11. So the pass rush group thinning out a little bit as we head into the back end of our end of this mock draft. We'll see. Does Washington or Carolina go get Montez Sweat, as we are getting towards the bottom end of the guys that you would consider the premier pass rushers potentially in this mock draft? Washington on the clock. Mike Jones from the Washington Post will join us next as we continue along. It's the 2019 Media Mock Draft on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
14 picks in, a couple more for us before we hand it off to XL Primetime. They'll take you for the second half of the Media Mock Draft, or the first couple hours of the show up until 2 o'clock. And this is always a fun show, 32 guests. We do it now in 4 hours. We used to do 32 guests in three. I'm watching Emmanuel, who's doing this for the first time this year. And 2 hours feels like a breeze, believe me. When you only got to get 16 in.
I'm putting in that work,
I know you are, man. I appreciate it. As we got a couple more to go here at number 15, Washington now on the clock. Mike Jones from the Washington Post joining us at Mike Jones, WAPO. there on Twitter if you want to give him a follow there. So, Mike, as there you've been given the rundown as to what's happened in our mock draft, if there's something that caught your eye or ear as a dang it, wish that could have worked out for the Redskins here.
Well, first off, I don't work for the Washington Post anymore. I'm a USA Today.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, I've been for the last 2 years. But I do keep track on the Redskins still. And they need a quarterback, but I don't see them jumping up to trade for a quarterback. But they need playmakers. So that's why I'm going with DK Metcalf for them at that pick there, because they need a game-changing pass catcher. They've been weak at that wide receiver position for a while. I thought about Marquise Brown, but I think with some size and that blend of speed, I think Metcalf would be a great get for them.
So you would prefer the guy that maybe just projects more as an outside guy than maybe a potential slot guy in Hollywood?
Yeah, because, you know, they've got Paul Richardson, who's a real speed guy, and they've got a guy that they like in Quinn, who's a young guy who was a backup to Jamison Crowder as a slot guy. And they think that he's got a bright future. So that's why Josh Doctson's been a disappointment at that position on the outside. And I think maybe Metcalf might be the guy that can be that possession guy, but also have a blend of speed as well. Physicality that they need for whoever their quarterback is, whether it's Case Keenum or Colt McCoy or somebody that they draft in the second round.
Likely to have their choice of the wide receivers here at number 15. If it wasn't going to be wide out, what other direction do you think they would go?
Possibility could be, Brian Burns, pass rusher. They need somebody to go opposite Ryan Kerrigan. They lost Preston Smith to free agency. That's a possibility. To have a real dynamic edge guy for their defense, because they've been investing on the front of that defense, but they really need a blindside pass rusher. But this is a deep draft for that. So they could get a guy who's pretty talented in the second round there if they don't do it in the first round.
All right, so Washington in. Mike Jones of USA Today taking wide receiver DK Metcalf. Promise won't make that mistake again, buddy. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on the show this morning. So there it is, Washington in. With DJ or DK Metcalf, the pick there out of Ole Miss. So the first wide receiver off the board as we go to Carolina. And Jordan Rodrigue joining us from the Charlotte Observer. Jordan, appreciate you giving us a few minutes today as we wrap up our half here of this mock draft. Carolina set there at number 16. And we'll start with what is going on with Cam Newton. Where is he health-wise right now for Carolina?
Well, Cam's making great progress. You know, he's got a lot of his range of motion back. Obviously, the team started phase one of their workouts last week at the facilities. Sounds like things are all positive. You know, I wouldn't rule out Carolina drafting a backup quarterback, maybe in the fourth or fifth round, but this guy's going to be coming to be a system backup. So the team is fully expecting Cam to be healthy and ready to go in 2019. Important season for him. He knows it. They know it. And so far, it seems like everything's going well for him in the rehab process.
What do you consider, if you were going to rank the needs for Carolina coming into this draft, how would you rank them?
I'd say offensive and defensive line are pretty much tied in terms of team needs. They really had some problems creating pressure last year, especially, they had to manufacture it. So that meant they had to mix their fronts a lot more. Ron Rivera took over the play calling. That's kind of when you knew they just weren't getting it done on the inside or the outside. So adding guys there will be important. And with Cam Newton, getting kind of taking the hits he's had to take. And then when he sat out the last two games of the year, the Panthers couldn't even finish a game with one backup or the other backup because they both got knocked out of the game due to hits that they were taking. So offensive line, restocking, rebuilding, adding depth, making sure that you're prepared for worst-case scenarios injury-wise, restocking, and making sure that Cam Newton is protected in a year where he's going to probably come back and be healthy is key. So I think those two things are the highest needs.
How would you rank the offensive linemen coming into this draft, regardless of whether they're still available at this point in our mock draft? How do you think they feel about these guys?
I think rounds 1 through 3, I think they're pretty positive and optimistic about the level there. They really enjoy coming in and developing a guy. If they can't find in the first round, if they can't settle on a consensus first round offensive lineman that they feel can be a day one impact starter, I'm talking about guys like Dillard, Cody Ford, Jonah Williams, Juwan Taylor, guys like that, then they, I would assume that they would pick a defensive end and then have a guy that they can develop a little bit on the offensive line in the second or third round. But I know they like first through three rounds for those offensive linemen.
Yeah, and I know the options here are a little bit interesting with that in mind, with Ford and Juwan Taylor still available in our mock draft here on the defensive line. Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, names that are still out there. So, in this scenario, where do the Carolina Panthers go at number 16?
Well, I think they take guys like Brian Burns. I think they take a guy like Montez Sweat. I would imagine Montez Sweat is still on the Panthers board, although I don't have sourcing to kind of back that up, just that they've dealt with guys with heart problems before and it's been fine. But I would say that they'd pick Brian Burns. They spent a lot of time with him. He's got a family history. You know, Stanley McClover, his brother, was a draft pick of the Panthers way back. And he is just really a great fit for what they want to do. They want to be more multiple on defense. He's got the speed. He's got the talent. Really, really hyper-smart kid that would fit great in their system. And he would come in and be an impact starter rotating with defensive end Bruce Irvin opposite Mario Addison and really have an impact, be able to do the types of things they do as they become more multiple. Play a, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker role. Be a situational rusher and different blitz packages, and obviously be that 4-3 defensive end if they need him to as well. So Brian Burns, I think, is a pick at 16.
All right. Thank you very much, Jordan. As we wrap it up, there's our 16 picks, 16 up, 16 down, and we wrap up with Florida State edge rusher Brian Burns here on our portion of the Media Mock Draft. Pick 17 through 32 coming up with XL Primetime. And looking at it there, as we mentioned, Brian Burns, the pick, some interesting names still out there. Montez Sweat, a name that had been attached to the Jacksonville Jaguars as we get down to, look, it's the middle of the draft. Guys available at number 17 aren't exactly guys that you would expect to be picked in the top five, generally speaking, right? It thins out as you go through a draft. But Montez Sweat, a guy that it wasn't that long ago. I think CBS, maybe they still do. I'd have to pull it up in front of me. But I think CBS had Montez Sweat. I know when they're top 10, let's see if I can get it up here, 8. Yeah, they had Montez Sweat number 8 in their overall rankings. You know who they had number 6 in their overall rankings still on what they have up on their website? Juwan Taylor, who is a name we've heard very little about. He's been mentioned kind of offhand a couple of different times, but that's about it as we go through at least our half here of the first round of the mock draft. But Montez Sweat and Juwan Taylor still available. Cody Ford on the offensive line still available. So let's run it down before we welcome in the boys of XL Primetime here in a couple of moments. Arizona with the first overall pick, taking quarterback out of Oklahoma, Kyler Murray. No surprise there. San Francisco at number 2 with defensive end Nick Bosa out of Ohio State. At number 3, the New York Jets go with Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams. At 4, the Oakland Raiders select defensive tackle Ed Oliver out of Houston. At 5, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with linebacker Devin White out of LSU. At 6, the New York Giants, with a lot of directions they could go, decide to go with Josh Allen, who it sounded like Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com was very excited, and sounded like the Jags would, or the Giants would be really excited if Josh Allen were to slip down to number 6, as he's considered one of those kind of blue chip guys, has been for a long time in the draft process here. But the edge rusher out of Kentucky, they're at number 6 to the New York Giants. At number 7, Dan Hicken came in and took tight end T.J. Hockenson out of Iowa for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We asked Hick about how he kind of balanced out the idea of taking tight end as opposed to one of the offensive linemen. It's interesting. Anyone who's been listening to me knows I've been on the Ed Oliver train. I've kind of been on the defensive lineman train. And then you have the scenario play out in front of you. Right, like if this is the scenario on draft night for the Jags, and Bosa, Williams, Oliver, White, and Allen are all off the board, I think T.J. Hockenson's my pick. Because I don't love Juwan Taylor enough. It's a right tackle. I do think that the impact you can get from tight end and a right tackle are closer to equal than it would be if you were bringing in a left tackle. Say, I know a lot of people out there would like to see them go left tackle and potentially take a Jonah Williams there at that number 7 spot. But honestly, if that's the scenario for the Jacksonville Jaguars, it plays out that way with all those defensive guys coming off the board, including Ed Oliver, who's the guy that I would love to see him take, I think Hockenson would be my pick. At number 8, Detroit goes with defensive tackle Christian Wilkins out of Clemson. Buffalo at 9, Jonah Williams out of Alabama. At 10, the Denver Broncos with Devin Bush out of Michigan, the linebacker. So two linebackers off the board there. Cincinnati goes with edge rusher Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. At 12, the Green Bay Packers with Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle out of Washington State. At 13, the Miami Dolphins, Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. So the second quarterback off the board stays here in state with the Miami Dolphins. The Atlanta Falcons go with LSU cornerback Greedy Williams, the top corner in most people's minds in this draft. Washington then goes with wide receiver DK Metcalf out of Ole Miss, and that's the first wide receiver selected in our mock draft this year. And then Carolina, they're number 16 with defensive end, edge rusher, whatever you want to call him, Brian Burns out of Florida State. So the first Knoll off the board there, going off the board before the first Gator, which would be the offensive lineman if Jawan Taylor could find a home. He hasn't found one yet in our first half of the mock draft. We'll see where he lands in the second half as we'll hand it off to XL Primetime. We'll check in with him right now.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
As we check in with Hacker, and Hack, we saw Hick and Take, TJ Hawkinson, they're the Jags there at number 7. And I haven't been in love with the idea of tight end at 7, but seeing all the defensive linemen come off the board before him, including Ed Oliver, who's the guy that I would love to see him take, I think I'm all right with it.
Yeah, when Josh Allen started falling too, that piqued my interest, sure. But he went right before. Tony, by the way, you guys do such a good job with this. We're actually going to pick it up. We're going to do pick 17 through 32 on XL Primetime. TJ Hawkinson's interesting. I'm working on a story for 1010XL.com, kind of going back to their high school, college days and the recruiting process. How about this little sneak peek at the story? TJ Hawkinson in the class of 2016 was the 66th ranked tight end in high school. He was only a three-star guy. I believe he was in the 1400s overall. There were 65 tight ends ranked higher than TJ Hawkinson coming into his senior year of high school, signs with Iowa. And now he's a projected top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, man, keep working, right? Who cares what anybody has to say about you? Go out there, put in the work, and you can succeed on the level that you want to. Jawan Taylor still being out there is interesting. Montez Sweat kind of expected it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of scenario is exactly how it plays out for Sweat when everything is said and done.
The Jawan Taylor thing, I mean, all we've heard is Jacksonville, 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 and it happens every year that as you get right on the doorstep of the draft, obviously the narrative changes. And the narrative's not only changing towards Jacksonville, but really all throughout the first round when it comes to Jawan Taylor. Unfortunately, you know, I'm going to support the kid being a Gator player and whatnot, but he looks like one of the prime candidates that could be free-falling going into Thursday night. It's certainly happening in this year's 1010XL media mock draft.
Sure. I mean, he's a right tackle. And that's he's not a guy who has flexibility to play inside or play the other side. And that's, we haven't seen him do it. He's a right tackle.
And he was projected as a guard coming out of high school, out of Coco. Mentioned the Hawkinson piece. Taylor's part of the story as well. One of the top 50 offensive guard prospects. He was only a three-star guy himself, so he was not even projected to play tackle in college. He obviously did and played it well. I think he's going to go at some point during XL primetime, pick 17 to 32. But, yeah, I'd be surprised at this point if Jawan Taylor is a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I would be too, unless it's the Jags. The Jags would be the only landing spot for him there, at least in the top 10, and really, if there are other teams looking at offensive line, maybe in the top half of the draft coming up on Thursday. All right, Hack, we'll be tuning in. Second half of the media mock draft, and I'm sure NBA playoffs, everything else going on.
Oh, yeah, the Magic farewell game tonight. I have no hope of them winning, but it's been a great run. But, yeah, the Giants are on the clock. We'll be talking with New York at 12:05 this afternoon.
It has begun.
All right. Sounds good. That's XL Primetime Hacker, Matt Hayes, Joe C., Leon Searcy. We'll have you locked down for the second half of the Media Mock Draft. That'll do it for us. A big thank you to Emmanuel Thalerin. Good job, buddy. I know it's your first time getting baptized into this thing. You did a wonderful job. We appreciate it, and hopefully many more in the future, buddy.
Oh, y'all took me to church today.
As we got it done. We are done with our half of it. So for ET, that'll do it for me, Fat Tony. For Mike Dempsey, who is on assignment, we'll hand it off to XL Primetime coming up next right here on 1010XL.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...